Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture those aha moments from reading and apply them to your life and leadership. And today, on my walk, I'm thinking about nursing a grudge. Now, I have not been able to shake this thought ever since I first read it on page 117 of Gilead, Marilynne Robinson's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. Now, I hope you're familiar with Marilynne Robinson, but if not, let me encourage you to begin to read her works. The New Yorker has called her novels masterpieces. And when you search her name on the web, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find the name Marilynne Robinson used in sentences that also include such literary greats as William Faulkner and Emily Dickinson and Walt Whitman. I mean, the woman is an absolute master of her craft. But not only is she a master of her craft, she's also a teacher of her craft. And Robinson teaches creative writing at the University of Iowa Writers' Workshop, which, interestingly, it's an aside, but it's interesting, is the first creative writing program offered in the United States, going way back to 1936 when it was founded. And today, at 74 years of age, Marilynne Robinson is professor emeritus in that program. Now, her novels and her essays are brilliant, and I want to encourage you, take a minute, go to onmywalk.com, and you can read my review of Gilead. You'll also find my review of her collection of essays called When I Was Young, I Read Books. And that book and her essays are so thoughtful. Okay, let me get back to that thought about nursing a grudge. Now, no doubt you've heard that expression, but while I was reading Gilead, it came back to me with all the subtlety of a kickboxer delivering a roundhouse to the side of my head. I mean, it stopped me in my tracks. But to appreciate it, you need to understand the essence of the story. So let me give it to you. Marilynne Robinson takes me to the secluded town of Gilead, Iowa, where I meet John Ames. He's an old minister and he's dying from a heart condition. And the novel is his journal. And in this journal, he's pouring out a lifetime of insights and wisdom and the workings of God so that the son of his old age, just 7 years old at the time of all this writing, will have the experience of hearing his father's words even when his father is not there to give them to him, because his dad is not going to have the opportunity to watch his son mature. And so as Ames is writing, he's meandering through a meadow of memories of people and places and events. And what's interesting is that it seems his reflections often come back to his best friend, a friend he's known through childhood, a fellow preacher by the name of Boughton, and also of Boughton's recalcitrant son, John Ames Jack Boughton, who's the dying minister's namesake and his nemesis throughout this story. Now, about midway through the pages of Gilead, Reverend Ames takes us on another walk down memory lane, and as he does, he reflects on Boughton's parents, particularly what they were like when Ames and Boughton were just young children. Listen to the way that John Ames describes Boughton's parents.
I was thinking about old Boughton's parents, what they were like when we were children. They were a rather somber pair, even in their prime. Not like him at all. His mother would take tiny bites of her food and swallow as if she was swallowing live coals, stoking the fires of her dyspepsia. And his father, reverend gentleman that he was, had something about him that bespoke grudge. I have always liked the phrase, nursing a grudge, because many people are tender of their resentments as of the thing nearest their hearts. Well, who knows what account these two old pilgrims have made of themselves by now? I always imagine divine mercy giving us back to ourselves and letting us laugh at what we became, laugh at the preposterous disguises of crouch and squint and limp and lower we all do put on. I enjoy the hope that when we meet, I will not be estranged from you by all the oddnesses life has carved into me.
Now, I enjoy reading those words, and I enjoy hearing those words read, and here's why. Marilynne Robinson observes the human condition the way a jeweler appraises a diamond, I mean, she sees life in all its intricacies. But she also has this ability, through her character John Ames, to dish out theology like it's your favorite meal. I mean, the words that come from Ames' mouth, they just taste good on your palate. I mean, the idea of nursing a grudge as being tender of my resentments, oh, that is so spot on. How often have I treated my anger the same way? But not only does she understand the human condition, it's her insight into the ways of God that's so fascinating. That God, in His divine mercy, puts up with us and kindly helps us to see how foolish it is to take such care to nurse that grudge in the first place. And on one hand, my aha moment was the way that she described nursing a grudge as being tender of my resentments. But I never thought of it that way. It's such an apt description of me, and I suspect perhaps an apt description of you as well. But then just when I might settle into a little self-flagellation for nursing that grudge in the first place, she comes along through Ames and she reminds me of the mercy of God, who, to use the words of the old preacher, gives me back myself, my nasty self, and lets me look back and laugh both at the foolishness of holding this grudge in the first place, but also of God's kindness to forgive me in holding that grudge. And what astounds me is she does all of this through the character she's concocted in her imagination. And that is amazing. So, nursing a grudge, or perhaps better, refusing to be tender of my resentments. That's my thought on my walk with Marilynne Robinson and Gilead. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out in your walk through life.